Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. And I won't tell no one your name.
And I won't tell them your name. Names are a problem, especially if they go back 200 years, and the name in question is that of a prominent Virginian who was a slave owner. So Dr. Wendy Manuel Scott is Associate Professor of History at George Mason University and was also a leader on the Enslaved Children of George Mason project at George Mason University. So we figured she's the perfect person to talk to here and try to get a straight assessment of dealing with this issue. Good morning to you. Thanks for coming on today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I figured I should start with how George Mason University has dealt with its namesake's legacy as a founding father, as someone who has written important documents that preserve rights, and then juxtapose that against his life as a slave owner. This is not a new conversation at George Mason University, I assume.
No, not at all. And in fact, it's student inquiry that gave birth to the memorial project. You know, way back in 2016, our students were asking really heavy questions, and we needed to respond. So I worked with Dr. Benedict Carton, Robert T. Hawks Professor of History, and Dr. George Oberle, a Fenwick Librarian, History Liaison, and a Digital Humanities Specialist, to pull together five incredible undergraduate students. And in the summer of 2017, those students went out. They began to do research at Gunston Hall, at Fairfax County Courthouse. Some even went down to Williamsburg with the intention of trying to understand George Mason, the man, the patriot, and the slaveholder. And what we really concluded was that our institutional name was not going to change, and we were not going to move or get rid of the George Mason statue at the center of our campus. Instead, the purpose of our research was and remains to raise awareness about George Mason, the patriot, and the slaveholder. And we've really, really focused on deepening and expanding our community's understanding of Mason, and this is so key for us, and the people who he owned, whose very basic rights, as you've already indicated, were denied. And so the memorial, the Enslaved People of George Mason Memorial, is designed as a place for the hidden voices of the enslaved to be in dialogue with the traditional voice of George Mason IV.
In the research that you did George Mason write or speak about with his contemporaries the slave issue?
So that's also really quite exciting for us. At the base of the George Mason statue, we are including excerpts from four of his writings. So we've got the Virginia Declaration of Rights, his objections to the Constitution of Government, his letter to his son, John Mason. But really critical for us is that we've also included Mason's last will and testament. And it's in his probated last will and testament that we really get a sense of his understanding of slavery. And I'll just read a snippet for your audience. Mm-hmm. Quote, I give and bequeath unto each of my four daughters, Ann Mason, Sarah Mason, Mary Mason, and Elizabeth Mason, and to each of their heirs forever the following slaves with their increase respectively from this date of my will. I confirm a Negro girl named Penny to my daughter Ann. And for us, right, this quote from Mason's will is critical because what it reveals to us is that for George Mason, human property was an essential form of his wealth. In fact, reproductive wealth, because he's noting it's the increase that he is also bequeathing to his children, the unborn African-American children, bequeathing them to his children.
Mm-hmm. So did that give you pause to, you know, some of our leaders in the past struggled with this issue, wrote about how they struggled with this issue, and at the conclusion of their lives, freed their slaves. Did this cause anxiety? I mean, if you look at it on the timeline, I think this guy was so early in the founding of the country that it's maybe not fair to compare him and his society to the society that existed 50, 100 years later. But did this cause you anxiety?
No, that's a wonderful question. I think because we have rooted our research, the entire team, in the archives, an evidence-based inquiry, it did not cause us anxiety, and instead we saw it as an opportunity to really jump into the messiness of the past and to think about how the past connect to who we are as a nation today. And thus far, we have not found any evidence that Mason made an attempt to emancipate any of the enslaved girls, boys, women, or men that he held in bondage.
And yet his other writings were, and his objection to signing ratifying the Constitution without the Bill of Rights indicates that the concept of personal freedom as articulated in the Bill of Rights was very important to him. Is that to me, I would say that would overwhelm the negatives in his life, but I'm sure that's a debatable assertion. What did your group think as you delved into it?
Actually, what we've decided to do is not to offer a final conclusion for students or for visitors to George Mason, and the entire memorial invites people to ask the types of questions that you're asking, right? We present the evidence. We also, in addition to having the George Mason statue as a part of this memorial, it will also include a panel to a young girl named Penny that Mason held at Gunston Hall with names of other enslaved children. It will also include another panel of an individual named James, who was Mason's manservant, also, again, listing the names of enslaved men and women. And so what we want folk to do, what we believe George Mason University students should do, is ask the questions and be willing, be courageous enough to do the research and to be in dialogue, even sometimes when that dialogue is difficult.
Let me ask you a personal question. Obviously, I can't see you, Dr. Manuel Scott,
yeah.
but I'm told you're an African-American woman. You're okay with working at George Mason University? Has this meant anything that you want to share personally?
Oh, thank you for that question. I indeed identify as an African-American woman. I have two children, and I'm married. And this work has meant the world to me and to my colleagues and to our students as well. I think for me, I felt a very deep and personal connection to Penny, who at the age of 10 was taken from a plantation in Maryland to Gunston Hall. And I cannot fathom, as a mother, what that must have meant for her mother, or what that must have felt like for Penny to be placed at Gunston Hall. I can't imagine if she cried at night, if she wept, wanting to see her Maryland family. And so for me, the work that we're doing here is a really powerful effort toward reclamation and reconstruction. It's an effort to heal. And George Mason University, I have to say, we are so incredibly proud of our students. And when we introduced this project to our student council, they wept with tears, and it was a diverse group of students, because they felt like finally, we were going to be courageous enough, again, to ask these questions and have the messy conversations. And so it is a high honor.
It sounds like an academic endeavor, which is what you're charged with at a university of higher learning. And that I can appreciate. It's, you know, if you approach it with a curiosity rather than an anger, then that makes sense to me. And listen, I'm out of time, but Dr. Wendy Manuel Scott, associate professor at GMU, George Mason University, I really do appreciate the conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.